and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's begin with the latest COVID-19 numbers. Malaysia reported 109 new COVID-19 cases as of noon today, which brings the total number of cases to 4,228 cases. However, there is some good news. The number of recoveries have surpassed the number of new cases for the second consecutive day. Now, Malaysia's COVID recovery rate is approximately 38%. Is this going to be enough to conclusively say that we have managed to flatten the curve? Now, to quote Director General of Health, Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah, he said, quote, "So far, the data shows that we are still in a struggle. We haven't won and we haven't yet lost," end quote. Now, this is going to be a particularly important time as there's going to be a meeting tonight to decide whether to loosen or to further extend the MCO. Sharad, what do you think what the expectations are with regards to the announcement tomorrow, whether we're going to be extending the MCO?
Well, Melissa, of course, expectations are and or desires and hopes are essentially to return to a time that we used to know, and you know, the old normal, as it were, and perhaps the end of the MCO for many would signal that. Though there are many, I think, false assumptions that we make when we think that we can actually return to the old ways of doing things after the MCO ends. Now, the MCO, though, period, yes, people are bracing themselves for an extension. I think that's already was in the rumor mill and was talked about on social media. The issue is, I think, Melissa, the numbers. And we on our show quote certain numbers and we don't quote other numbers. The narrative around them, that's being projected by many people depending on how they see things. So, it's a complex trade-off. We talked about the economy a lot on this show over the last week or so, and we know that that's going to play heavily on the mind of policymakers as well.
Definitely. I have to agree with you on the fact that, you know, the numbers that we do cite on the show doesn't actually show the full picture. And I'm sure the Ministry of Health is looking at data, projections and modelling to see whether or not the curve has been flattened. But Sharad, you mentioned the old normal, and I really like that because, you know, we really have to brace ourselves for the new normal, regardless of what happens with the MCO, whether it's loosened or it's extended. The truth is we have to get used to maintaining a strict physical distancing approach as part of our lifestyle. This is going to be a long-term thing. We have to get used to wearing masks. It's going to change the nature of our social lives. You know, think of birthday parties and gatherings. It's going to change the nature of our religious lives. You know, the way we work is going to change. I'm thinking about Ramadan, what's going to happen during Ramadan, what's going to happen during the
Easter,
Raya period.
Easter is coming up as well.
Easter
and so
period,
for Christians, you know, this is also a very important moment in their calendar.
To congregate, right? Yeah, it's our nature to want to congregate.
And also travel. And, you know, what's going to happen to our borders? We talked about Indonesia. The Sarawak government has, just announced that it's going to tighten controls over its very, very long border with Indonesia. Is that going to be sufficient? And, you know, if we do well in Malaysia, if our neighbours don't do well, that's a problem for us too. And
exactly,
we're not in control of those contexts. So what do we do with a world that's very, very complex in terms of the landscape of managing this particular pandemic?
So just to manage expectation, folks, I mean, regardless what happens with the announcement of the MCO tomorrow, we have to embrace this new normal as the long-term lifestyle, and it's going to change the way we live. All right, well, let's move on to some other news. Higher Education Minister Nuraini Ahmad caused a bit of a stir after announcing a TikTok competition yesterday. She posted on Twitter that she was creating a TikTok contest for Malaysians to join and win a prize. However, there's been significant backlash online, after which the social media posts promoting it were then removed.
Well, Melissa, you know, the mockery that, of course, the minister quoted in this particular instance is there for all to see. And I think it's become far too easy to mock our politicians,
well,
some of whom seem ill-suited for the job.
Right.
Nevertheless, when it comes to the question of higher education, Melissa, I think that the ministry and the politicians are only one of many stakeholders.
Sure.
And the important conversations that need to be happening can still happen, even if they are focused on other things.
Can I just break it down, though? I mean, when we take a look at the backlash that happened online, I'm sure you saw some of the, you know, the comments that were made. What specifically were the objections that you noticed, Sharada? I saw most of the comments being the objections to this TikTok competition was really around the fact that this is really not a time for frivolity. This is not, you know, a time to be thinking about making videos, given that there are serious considerations in the way we have to live our lives post-pandemic, right?
Yeah, so, okay, keeping people entertained or helping them understand how they might keep themselves entertained or, you know, during this period is one strategy. And I think politicians perhaps thinking about their constituents mm-hmm. in terms of voters and how they might give something to them. But I think the issue was whether it was suitable for the Ministry of Higher Education to be promoting this particular platform,
okay.
A platform that's seen as catering to actually very young people, you mm-hmm. know, in their tweens and teens, rather than people thinking about higher education,
right.
Where we associate that with the pursuit of knowledge, with reading, mm. with deeper exploration of the world and, you know, and such. And so, you know, the former Minister of Education, you know, put out a tweet talking about the many online courses from Ivy League universities that one can, in fact, access during this period.
That seems
a bit more in keeping with the issue of higher education.
Yes.
But like Melissa, you know, I said, well, you know, let's leave the politician side because some of them just seem to have their own ideas on what they want to do. And, you know, whatever they're being paid through the public purse aside, the important thing is we must not lose sight to the fact of, you know, what has been the role of universities, public and private, in this particular crisis? Mm. What will happen to the foreign student population after the MCO is lifted? What's happened to them now? What is the experience of online education? Is it all that it's cracked up to be? Or are there serious problems with that?
Yes.
So, you know, can that be a real template for the future? These are the important conversations for higher education, whether the higher education minister wants to lead that conversation or not.
Definitely true. We have to think about efforts to address our higher education, especially post MCO and during a time of COVID-19, online learning, as you mentioned, online classes, whether that is actually the best way forward. And, you know, perhaps looking at reshaping the curriculum in all, one some of the things that we should consider. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And after this, we're going to take a closer look at the legal considerations in enforcing the MCO. Stay tuned to consider this.